You're listening to Control ClickCast. We inspect the web for you. Today, we're talking to Chris Harrison about growing as designers slash devs by embracing the things we hate. I'm your host, Leah Alcantara, and I'm joined by my fab co-host,
Emily Lewis.
This episode is sponsored by CodePen. CodePen is a code editor for HTML, CSS, and JavaScript in the browser. Open a free account on CodePen and save the things that you build to your profile as pens. CodePen makes it easy to have a discussion on those pens, showcase them on your profile, embed them on other sites, and more. And now, you can use your free CodePen account to write blog posts as well, to share your ideas about code through writing. Visit codepen.io.
Control Click would also like to thank Pixel and Tonic for being our major sponsor. Hi, Leah. How was your fourth?
It was pretty good. Felt kind of funny because I spent it with fellow Canadian expats.
Uh-huh.
And we were dressed up in all like Americana.
I saw some of your pictures. You were more patriotic looking than I managed myself.
I just
even
wanted
your nails.
Well, no, actually, that was my friend Maya's nails.
Oh, and I thought those were yours.
No, and she was better at the nail art than I was. But I thought like since I was already wearing stripes and everything, I'm like, okay, that might be just too much now.
So did you do anything to recognize the fourth, or was it really kind of like get together with fellow Canadians and reminisce about Canada?
Well, we tried to go to a park, Gasworks Park, to see fireworks and stuff like that, but the weather was kind of crappy, so we didn't stick around that long. Like, we had some stuff from a food stand, and we saw some guys parachuting. I don't know, that was like a 4th of July thing. People were parachuting down planes and then had smoke coming out of their, you know, bodies. I don't know. But then because the weather was crappy, we were just like, let's just head back to your apartment and drink.
And like good Americans.
Yeah, exactly. And their apartment has a rooftop deck.
Oh, that's
so
perfect.
Yeah. So eventually we, like, you know, during the fireworks, we just headed up to the rooftop and saw both legal and illegal fireworks going off.
Yeah, we have legal and illegal fireworks here in the desert, which just boggles my mind because we are under constant fire danger.
Yes.
And I do not understand why the state lets this happen every year. I see the stands and they just make me angry. The big, huge fireworks stands.
Yeah.
Ugh. I mean, people lose their homes. It's just bizarre to me why you would put stuff on fire in the desert that's like ready to catch on fire.
Yeah. No, I know. I mean, it's like sparklers cool, but I mean, I guess in some ways, it was some of the illegal stuff was cool because it was closer.
But it was people's backyard.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly. But it was far enough that we were safe. But I was wondering about their neighbors. It's just like, what if something caught on fire?
Yeah.
But pretty.
Well, I'm glad you had a good fourth.
Yeah, it was fun.
All right. So today we're talking about embracing the suck with Chris Harrison. Chris is a talented illustrator, designer, and front-end dev. He's also very involved in the web community, founding Refresh Augusta and the Clubhouse Cooperative, as well as live tweeting many major web conferences in the Southeast region. Welcome to the show, Chris.
Hello. How are you guys doing today?
Great. How are you?
Not too bad.
So, Chris, can you tell our listeners a bit more about yourself?
Yeah, I've lived in Augusta for the past 17 years. I've been married to my beautiful wife, Kim, for nearly 11 years. I have two kids, Tyler and Emily, and they are the joys of my life. They're basically who I spend time with whenever I'm not working or doing stuff in the local community. I like collecting comic books, Star Wars. I collect clone troopers. And,
oh, cool.
Yeah. And I like taking pictures of Lego stuff.
Do you do those, what is it called, tilt-shift stuff with Lego or like just macro shots?
Mostly macro shots. Mm-hmm. It's just playing around with my phone and Instagram in some cases and really just trying to learn my SLR a little bit better.
Yeah, Leia, you have like a really nice camera too, don't you?
Yes. Well, I used to have like a giant rig with Nikon and all these lenses and things like that. But recently, I downgraded/upgraded, I don't know how you would call it, to a Fuji X100S. Because I found that I wasn't really switching lenses and I wasn't taking as much photos because it was too bulky to bring around an SLR. So the Fujifilm looks kind of like a tiny Leica, but it's all digital and it's got a fixed lens. And
it made me like just be able to put it in my purse and take a ton of photos.
Mm-hmm. You know, I think we've noticed when we've had guests on the show that there are a couple common interests and hobbies, mm-hmm. music being one of them. But yes. I think photography is another major one that we see. For everyone's sure. really interested in if you're in the web industry. Interesting. So, Chris, we have sort of an odd name to today's episode, Embracing the Suck. It actually comes from a presentation you gave at GiantConf. What does Embracing the Suck mean?
So, it comes from a military phrase that basically means, face it, soldier, I've been there, this ain't easy.
Oh.
Now, let's deal with it. And I'm not retired military, but my dad was. But this concept is just really, it struck a chord with me. Because I've been in this industry for a long time, and I've seen some things, and sometimes whether you like it or not, you just have to deal with the cards you're given and make the best of it.
I mean, that's obviously something that you've figured out for yourself, but why did you feel it was something you wanted to present and share with other people in a really formal way?
Well, last year, I started entertaining the idea of trying to get into speaking a little bit more. I reached out to a few people on Twitter about trying to talk, and it led to giving a few presentations on SaaS to some user groups.
Like local events?
Yeah. I talked to a group in Athens, Georgia, and then also the Atlanta Web Design Group, Refresh Augusta, and even Refresh Columbia. And during that time, I saw GiantConf had a call for speakers, and I knew that I wouldn't want to give the SaaS talk, but I wanted to push myself. And mm-hmm. for me, that's part of embracing the suck. It's a topic that really struck a chord with me just because I've been going through a lot of changes personally and professionally since last year. I went from working full-time freelance for 3.5 years to working full-time again. And it took a lot of getting used to.
That's a huge transition.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I went from being able to set my own schedule and having to chase down work to working for a major corporation. And at first, it was a little difficult. Probably wasn't as difficult for me as it would be for others, just because I had been contracting with them for mm-hmm. about 2 years before I came on full time. But it was still weird having to come back into an office environment.
Did it also mean a lot more stuff sucked? Or the way you got to work or the way you had to work? I mean, one thing I can think of for myself, when I left my employer 4 years ago to work for myself, I hated it. I hated everything about the bureaucracy and things that I had to do that didn't make sense, that never made it to the public. And then working for myself, which is a lot of hustling, but I also have the freedom to not suffer fools.
Well, in my case, I knew a lot of what I was going in. So, I mean, there weren't things that really sucked per se, just because I knew what I was getting into when I started working full time. But I did get kind of a curveball when I came on full time in that I was working on some very specific projects. And when I came on board, I was told that I was going to work on some Joomla and Drupal stuff. Mm. And I had very little experience with either of those CMSs. And my love is WordPress. I had been working with WordPress before I came here, probably 7 years or so. And that's what I knew. And when I was told that I'd be working on Joomla and Drupal stuff, it was like, really? You know, will you please entertain the idea of switching to WordPress? That's what I know. And, you know, I was told that now, you know, this is what we're going to use. We don't need to support 100 different CMSs. You know, I came to the realization that if I wanted to, I could stay miserable or I could embrace the suck and embrace the opportunity being given to me to learn something new. And it was once I saw, you know, once I realized that that was the choice that I was having to make at the time, it really changed how I viewed everything here.
So specifically with that, so you had the realization, did you start like writing a list? What did you do to move forward?
Well, it's been a struggle. I mean, mm-hmm. knowing WordPress and knowing what to look for if you hit a roadblock mm-hmm. came pretty easy for me since I had quite a bit of experience with it. And I didn't have that with Joomla or Drupal. I didn't know where to go to look. So, I mean, it's been a constant learning experience. And here I am a year and a half later. I'm still trying to figure things out, but it's mm-hmm. getting a lot easier.
Was that something that your now employer just factored in, that it might take you longer to do those things because you didn't have the experience to reference and that it was a learning process?
They did. They showed me a great deal of patience and understanding mm-hmm. and gave me a lot of encouragement to learn these new things for me. And that's really made things better I mean, they could have had an unrealistic expectation, or I could have known beforehand that I'd be working on the things that I was and made the mistake of taking it on knowing those things. But yeah, they've been very understanding, and it's been a good process.
So kind of touching back on Leia's question, getting out of the mindset of being kind of annoyed or frustrated that you have to do something that, I mean, bottom line, you don't want to do. Whatever the reasons are, you don't want to do it. So what was it? Was it doing research on Joomla and Drupal? Was it talking to someone else who does that kind of dev that's like, oh, it's not so bad? Or was it just an internal thing that you were just go ahead and just suck it up? It was just like a natural progression.
It was kind of a natural progression. I mean, I've been doing web design, web development since 96.
Well, was it that way for you in the beginning then? Because I imagine that this isn't the first time you've been presented with something that you have to do that you don't want to do. Has it evolved as your career has lengthened?
I think so, yeah. I mean, I've definitely gone through stages where everything sucks and the client's wrong, to where I'm a lot more understanding of what needs to get done. I mean, it's a job, and I realize that not all of it's going to be fun. And sometimes the things we have to work on suck. It may not even be something that we're proud of, but I've got bills to pay, you know? And I think there's a certain maturity that you have to realize, just get it done. Focusing on the negative aspects of like how much something sucks is counterproductive. And actually, it's funny. So I mentioned I've got two kids. My son is 8 years old, and I've been realizing with him that I'll ask him to clean his room or just to pick up the den or something like that. And he'll usually complain for like 10 minutes about what I've asked him to do. In that time, he could have just gotten it done. And I started realizing that that's me in some cases. That's been me in some cases.
Mm-hmm.
It's real easy to go to Twitter and complain about something than to do it. And if we just thought about it and just knocked it out, you could get back to the really fun stuff.
In some ways, it sounds like to me, it's all about prioritization, like actually realizing that sulking essentially is not a priority. It's like getting the actual project done as well as you can, as quickly as you can, is a better priority, because that allows you to have other things that you want to do in your life or your career happen faster as well.
I agree with that.
And you know, it's, I think it's also, especially after having looked at your deck from GiantConf, it seems to me that it's not just a matter of sulking, of being upset you've got to do something. But there's something that I wasn't aware of, but in your presentation from GiantConf, you mentioned that there's this thing called active disengagement in the workplace.
Right. And that was something I learned about, because it's something like you see, but you don't really think about. I mean, so Gallup did this state of the workplace survey last year, and in it, they found that, you know, maybe 30% of American employees report that they're engaged and regularly inspired at the office. You know, there are people that are happy. And then I'm sure you guys have probably seen Office Space. You know, there's this whole idea of like people doing just enough to not get fired. And that describes about 52% of the workforce. That's kind of scary. But then the other 18%, those are the people that are actively disengaged. These are the people that are office cancer. These are the people that you don't want to become, and you don't want them on your team, because they're the ones that are going to sabotage you. They're going to make your job more difficult, and they're going to make you hate the things that are being asked of you that much more because of their negativity. And this is a real problem, because active disengagement costs businesses almost a $500 billion a year.
So could you give some examples of what exactly is active disengagement? What kind of behaviors manifest with that?
I mean, these are people that they just don't care about their job. They don't care about what they're doing. Their attention's always focused elsewhere. And, you know, they might be unhappy because they're not doing things that fit their capabilities, or they're not being assigned the right things because of poor leadership or whatever, or they're not being challenged enough. I mean, there's a lot of different things that can contribute to active disengagement. But ultimately, you know, these are just people that they just don't care about work. You know, they're just collecting a paycheck and they don't really care about what's going on. And
it seems to me that that's where you could end up if you don't embrace the suck. You know what I mean? If you don't try and sort of shift your own mindset, you could end up in that camp of just being, I don't know, kind of how I feel I was at the end of my, when I quit my job, which is just I don't know, constantly pissed off and not really producing your best work and kind of being angry that you're not producing your best work and blaming everyone else. I mean, me quitting was the best thing I could have ever done for myself, regardless of starting my own business. But I was wondering if the people who fall in that 52%, the permanent case of the Mondays, the people who just are doing enough to get by, is that the majority of the people who just aren't embracing, who could still find a way to change the mindset and get engaged in their jobs?
I would think so. Yeah. I do believe the 52%, they do have a lot more power than they realize in their workplace happiness. If they do embrace the suck and just power through some of the things that they don't like doing, I mean, they'll find that they'll be happier in general.
Do you feel like a year after looking into Drupal and Joomla that you actually got something out of learning them?
I do. I mean, it hasn't been an easy road. The documentation that you'll find and discussions around a lot of what you need to do with both those platforms are a little bit more difficult to come by. But I do find that a year and a half in that it's a lot easier. I know where to go. I'm better at parsing through, you know, what I don't understand.
And does that success make it easier the next time?
I think so. I realized for myself that a big part of what was frustrating me is like not knowing what I don't know. And that made it more difficult and made me more reluctant to try to learn new things. Because it's really easy to kind of get into the mode of, okay, this is what I do, this is what I know, these are the tools I enjoy using, and then you don't ever look outside that. And I think that's a really easy way to get left behind.
What do you mean by that, get left behind?
Well, I mean, our industry is constantly changing. There's always new stuff. And granted, you have to walk a fine line because there is a lot of shiny and it's really easy to get distracted. But if you settle on just knowing what you currently know and you don't push yourself, you're going to get unhappy or something's going to become very important, like responsive, you know, mobile design, and you're not going to know it because maybe your job isn't challenging you enough or you haven't had an opportunity to incorporate that stuff into what you're doing. And then somebody's going to come to you and tell you, we need this in a week. And, you know, that's not a good situation to be in. So you always want to constantly try to improve your skills and just do what you can.
So speaking of being distracted in the shiny thing, I want to talk a little bit more about why you think there's so much active disengagement in the workplace or work in general. Social media, do you think that has a role in it at all?
I definitely do. We see on a daily basis the things that people want to show us. And most people tend to just show the best parts of their life. And I don't remember the exact study, but like I saw something where couples that are on Facebook, 30% of those where both of them use Facebook will probably end up in divorce. And I'll find a link to that. I've got it bookmarked on Delicious. I'm sure of that. But when you constantly compare yourself to how happy other people appear and the work that they're doing, you're not doing yourself any favors. I mean, people show you what they want to show you. They're dealing with their own crap. And you don't always get to see that. And that's one of the big problems with social media. And Raji King had a great article about where on his blog where he talks about how he kind of got addicted to the likes and the favorites and how he started designing for more likes and more favorites. And that's a tough cycle to break. I mean, you get addicted to that. And when you start comparing yourself to other people without realizing all the different things that they're dealing with, you're going to end in defeat. You're going to get frustrated with yourself.
It also occurs to me that social media might contribute to this in another way, in that it gives you a platform to vent your frustrations and kind of stay in that frustrated mindset rather than moving on and just doing what you need to do to get the job done or get your bills paid or whatever. I know that I went through a period on social media where all I did was bitch and complain about my job and how unhappy I was. And it just almost fed into itself. It gave it life. And it was my company at the time didn't have a social media policy, so there wasn't anything they could do about it. And everyone thought it was funny, but it just kept me in this really negative mindset, and I didn't get past it for far too long.
Yeah, I mean, it's okay to vent, and I think some venting is healthy, but if that's what you do all the time, yeah, I mean, it's a destructive course to be on. No good is ever going to come from that.
Yeah, you're certainly not going to grow. And I think that's what this idea of embracing the suck is about, is that if we want to grow in our professional careers, then there's going to be things that we don't always want to do, and we have to do them because it will make us better.
Right. And sometimes the people that you work with, you know, they may see things that you could be good at. And if you don't give it a chance, you're never going to be able to prove that to yourself.
Well, that brings up an interesting question. So if someone sees something in you that you could do well with, but you don't see it in yourself, how do they encourage you to do it? How could you encourage someone to embrace the suck? Or is it really a personal thing?
I mean, in some cases, it is a personal thing, but you can encourage somebody else through like mentoring them, share what you know regularly, encourage them to work with, you know, new technologies, new things. And then also there's this concept of jumping on hand grenades. So Crispin Porter and Boguski has in their employee handbook this idea that at some point you're going to have to jump on a hand grenade for one of your coworkers. And it might be where maybe you screwed up an estimate or something took you a lot longer. Being there for your teammates to help out. And hopefully if you do it for them, you know, the idea is that maybe your coworker would be there for you if you needed it. So kind of embracing the suck together when emergency calls. It also is a very personal thing. You need to constantly work on things you normally wouldn't or don't want to, just simply to teach yourself things that you didn't know about yourself. In doing that, you might find that you really enjoy it.
So is there anything specific that you particularly do to shift that mindset, like exercises or whatever?
I do try to be a little more active. So I'm a big guy, and 3 years ago I had weight loss surgery to help lose a lot of weight. I think at my highest weight, I was like 540 pounds, and since then I've lost about 170 pounds. So I've been trying to be more active. I wear a Fitbit just to monitor that kind of stuff. But then I also, you know, take pictures of silly things like Lego figures. I've been trying to draw a lot more, both physical media and then also digitally. And then like trying to do things like this and, you know, speaking in public and just really trying to push myself in ways that are different than coding all day, you know, doing front end.
Yeah, I guess if there's a more well-rounded aspect to your life, then the stuff that sucks at work doesn't suck so hard in the context of all of it, right?
Exactly. Exactly. I mean, if you can find a way to balance all those things, you'll definitely be happier.
Now, is there any situation where you would think that taking the approach of embracing the suck really isn't a good idea?
I mean, if you're constantly asked to do things that would be that you would find morally wrong, I mean, I definitely would have a problem with that. But I realize that in some situations, your job is, it might be, I mean, most people can't just up and quit their jobs. So, I mean, it depends. I mean, if you are in a genuinely sucky situation with no hope of it ever improving, I would at least start to lay the groundwork to try to find something else. Mm-hmm. You should probably always have your resume ready no matter what, but don't stop looking. I mean, there's always going to be a better opportunity out there eventually, and you might need to look sooner rather than later.
You know, I'm curious, after you gave this presentation, did you have a chance to talk to any of the attendees, what they thought about it? Did anyone offer any of their own experiences?
Yeah, I actually had quite a few people come up afterwards and told me that they appreciated the honesty of the presentation, and it wasn't something that they had heard before, and they shared a lot of the same struggles, even with having to work with Drupal. So it was kind of funny that happened.
I went to a local like mobile UX camp meetup here in Seattle. And one of the sessions was actually about conflict resolution within teams. And the main thing that the guy kept on reiterating was you have to take personal responsibility, even if this other person is making things bad for you or they're upset. The best thing is try to understand their perspective first and foremost, because most people aren't trying to be malicious, you know, and that you can only affect your own reaction as well as your own action to your own situations. What do you think about that?
I completely agree. I mean, you never know what other people are dealing with, you know, in and out of work. Everybody has their own stuff, and it's important to have empathy.
Yeah, empathy is, I don't think, emphasized enough in the workplace or in life in general. But when Leah mentioned about taking personal accountability for a situation, it made me think of another part of your presentation, which is it sounded, at least to me, not so much of embracing the suck of having to learn something new, but more like a situation where you don't get the opportunity to do the new thing you want to try. And you had suggested that you sneak stuff into projects.
Yeah, and so, yeah, you've got to be careful with that, because where I did that was one of the first projects I had to work on wasn't actually Joomla or Drupal here. I had to re-architect some HTML templates that we were using, and most people tend to hate HTML email stuff. I mean, it's
what? Know. It's awesome.
It's kind of one of those things. Yeah, I hate using tables, but I realized, okay, I needed to quickly iterate. I was going to have to change the colors quickly on several different templates, and I might have to flip things around really quickly. And so I started entertaining this idea of trying to incorporate SAS into it. We weren't using CSS preprocessors at the time. And so I figured, okay, this is a very small project that only I'm going to be touching to start out with. And I'll be able to compile my CSS and we'll be able to roll it in when we pull it into the provider that we're using. And I was able to show by incorporating it into this project, even though it wasn't approved, that this was something that we ought to be using. When I sat down with some of my coworkers, I was able to just change a variable and change the several different colors within the document instead of having to replace instances where color might be mentioned throughout the document. And I was able to prove through something kind of boring that there's some really neat stuff out there that mm-hmm. we're not using that's going to make the rest of the stuff that we work on that much better and easier to do. And now we're using SAS in just about everything. And some of the Joomla sites that we're working on are using less. But there isn't a project that we are doing that doesn't use that technology. And now we're looking in other ways, other things that we can incorporate in.
So by basically putting something fun into something not so fun, you enjoyed it. And now your employer's benefiting from it in a much broader way.
Exactly. And then another project that I worked on outside of work was itembrowser.com. So there's a game for iPhone called Wallaby. And it's kind of like Gowalla, how it used to be in the beginning, where you check into a location and you might find credits or you could find like unique items and stuff like that. So me and a friend, David, created this item browser, which is primarily used on mobile devices. And I had never done anything responsive. And this was a great opportunity for me to learn, media queries and trying to design things for different breakpoints. And I didn't have the opportunity to do any mobile or responsive stuff where I'm at now. But all the things that I learned on that side project, I've been able to incorporate into what I've been doing here at my day job. So that was a great learning experience for me. And I learned really a lot more than I might have learned on the job while under fire trying to meet deadlines.
Yeah, I think Leigh and I can speak the same, just this podcast as a side project, mm-hmm. although I think we think of it more as a main project. But, the work that we did on that, from the branding to the expression engine to the front end, was all stuff that I wasn't getting projects to do responsive work at the time. I wasn't getting projects to do XYZ, and so I could try that out in our own stuff. Having your own side project lets you grow when you can't grow somewhere else.
Yep.
And, sometimes people wonder about the time invested in side projects. I never think it's a waste, because the knowledge you gain is always going to be used elsewhere. It might not be immediate, but it's always going to be applicable elsewhere.
I completely agree with that. And everything that I've learned with side projects that I've been involved in, I've been able to incorporate in my day job. And it's just made things that much easier. And I've gone on to teach other people about SAS in the other talk that I've given. And it's made me that much more excited about it, to see other people excited about those kind mm-hmm. of things. So,
you know what I'm starting to notice here when we're discussing a lot about this is part of embracing the suck seems to also be trying to help other people move forward, make the best out of the situation, sharing your knowledge. So for me personally, I feel like part of the benefit of this podcast is that we're in a position where we can help people or get people more information and encourage learning and all those kind of things. building some sort of community. All those things, I think, are fundamentals of just being happy in life. So I feel like embracing the suck is just really how can you figure out how to help others so that you're actually making some sort of contribution.
Yep, we are not on this rock alone. You know, I mean, there are, what, 7 billion other people here. And I mean, anything that we personally can do to help others improve themselves, I think will help us too. I mean, I know I've grown quite a bit in sharing what I've learned. And that's a big part of why I started Refresh Augusta. I love the idea of having a community that's willing to share what they know. And that's not something I've seen in a lot of other areas. I mean, I won't say that it's unique to web design, web development, but we do seem a lot more willing to share just because we can. But it's for the betterment of everybody that does this kind of work.
I also think that part of what I'm taking away from this about embracing the suck, it's not just about finding happiness in yourself or happiness through sharing or educating, but just not adding to the negativity.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things I can honestly say about me not being engaged on social media these days is that if I start feeling like I want to vent about something, I don't anymore. I vent to my friends and my family to their face, not on social media where it can be perceived in certain ways and it can add oxygen to things and, you know, just not adding to the negativity, like jumping on a bandwagon about how much I hate software that I'm just starting to learn and I'm just frustrated about, you know, something as simple as that.
Yeah. And I mean, I still make that mistake myself. So, I mean, you know, I'm a constant work in progress.
Aren't we all?
Yeah.
Definitely with regards to anything personal or professional, I would just try to, if you can, avoid adding fuel to the fire. I mean, usually very little good can come of it.
So considering our topic, I'm curious, what's your opinion of Pharrell's song Happy?
I don't hate it. And actually, the whole 24 hours of happy.com site, the 24-hour music video that they made for that is like one of the coolest things I've seen on the internet in a while. You know, and it's one of those things where, I mean, it's not the greatest song. It's not Queen or something, but...
But it's not Nickelback, right?
Exactly. It's not Nickelback or Creed, right? And if that's something you like, you know, more power to you.
Awesome. So before we finish up, we've got our rapid fire 10 questions so our listeners can get to know you a bit better. Are you ready, Chris?
I guess.
All right. First question. Mac OS or Windows?
Mac.
What is your favorite mobile app?
Oh, I would guess Wallaby.
So we kind of touched on this already, but maybe in a shorter way, what is your least favorite thing about social media?
The ease at which people can be negative on it.
What profession other than yours would you like to attempt?
I've got this eventual dream of maybe having a grilled cheese restaurant.
Oh my gosh, I would eat there. I love grilled cheese.
What profession would you not like to do?
Oh, I don't know that there is one. I mean, it's one of those things where I don't know what I don't know, so it'd be tough to answer that.
All right. Who is the web professional you admire the most?
Oh, man. I don't know that I really can name just one. I mean, I follow so many, and yeah, I mean, even you two are amazing. And
aww.
Yeah, there's too many to name. And I know that's kind of a cop out, but really, I mean, there's incredible people out there doing amazing things daily. And it's going back to getting caught up in what everybody else is doing. I mean, it's really easy to do that when you see some of the amazing things people are doing. But yeah.
All right. So what music do you like to code to?
I've been listening to this Disney like EDM album a lot lately or like Nine Inch Nails. I mean, it really depends on my mood. The Inception soundtrack.
That is a variety.
Yeah. I try to mix it up.
What's your secret talent?
I'm tall. I don't know.
How secret is that?
I don't know.
What's the most recent book you've read?
I don't even remember. That's sad. I don't remember the last book I read. I tend to read a lot of blogs and whatnot. So, I don't remember the last one.
All right. So, I think I already know the answer to this one. But Star Wars or Star Trek?
Well, I like Star Wars and I like both of them. But, like, I mean, I'd have to pick Star Wars ultimately. But I love sci-fi in general. So.
Awesome. So that's all the time we have for today. Thanks for joining us, Chris.
Thanks for having me. This has been a great experience. Thank you.
You're welcome. In case our listeners want to follow up with you, where can they find you online?
I'm CD Harrison on Twitter or CD on Instagram, or you can check out my site, cdharrison.com, and I blog kind of infrequently there.
Awesome. So glad you can join us today. Thanks, Chris.
Thank you.
We'd now like to thank our sponsors for this podcast, CodePen and Pixel and Tonic.
We also want to thank our partners, Arcus Tech, Devotee, and EE Insider.
And thanks to our listeners for tuning in. If you want to know more about Control Click, make sure you follow us on Twitter at Control Click Cast or visit our website, controlclickcast.com.
Don't forget to tune in to our next episode when we'll talk to Sean Smith of Caffeine Creations about supercharging your text editor. Be sure to check out our schedule on our site, controlclickcast.com/schedule, for more upcoming topics.
This is Leah Alcantara
and Emily Lewis
signing off for Control Click Cast. See you next time.
Cheers.